You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scarsbrick. The first time Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II crossed the threshold of the Vatican, it was 1951. She was still a princess, and the Pope to receive her in audience was Pius XII. Former Archbishop of Westminster, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, was studying for the priesthood at the time at the Venerable English College here in Rome, and shares his memories of this special moment with Philippa Hitchin.
Oh yes, I was there as a student. It was supposed to be in 1951, I think, when she came with Prince Philip. She wasn't Queen, she was Princess Elizabeth, and oh my goodness, in the Vatican. Everybody was dressed up to the hilt, guards, and she came in looking very beautiful in the black dress, and all of us here at the English College were allowed to go in, and we were told on no account were we to clap or cheer or do anything. This was against Vatican protocol. So she went in, and she met Pope Pius XII, and then she came out, and all of us there, when she came out, we said, blow, you know, all that. So we clapped and we cheered, and she was rather chuffed. And I met her afterwards, and she said she was quite terrified going in, you know, with all this. Because the first time as a young woman, you go into the Vatican. Buckingham Palace is all very well, but it doesn't compare with the Vatican.
The second time Her Majesty was received in audience by a Roman pontiff, it was 1961. This time the Pope was John XXIII, who's soon to be canonised by Pope Francis. Rosminian Father John Charles Leroux once shared with me his memories of that event, which took place, according to him, in the context of the Renaissance splendour of the papal court of the time, a splendour which he claims Pope John seemed to enjoy.
He used the room of the Tronetto, sort of the little throne room, next to the office of the Pope, which Pius XII very rarely... In fact, I never saw Pius XII use that room, but he used it again. He sat on the throne, and once for the private audiences of officials, not in his desk, he was on the throne, and there were two armchairs at the foot of the throne. And that's why, when he received the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh, there was a display of the court that amazed all the English people. The Duke and the Queen came back absolutely thrilled by the display of that Renaissance court in its full splendour.
That same year, the late Lord Altrincham came out to Rome to report on the Queen's official visit to the Vatican, and also attended an audience with Pope John XXIII, a somewhat contradictory account to what we've just heard, in which we discover a figure more homely than regal. I've asked my colleague, Philippa Hitchin, to read some extracts from this article.
Pope John XXIII makes even a general audience in St. Peter's seem like an intimate family occasion, a party thrown by a benign old man for the innumerable children who look for comfort, security and guidance. Pope John has the demeanour of a good country priest, with bubbling zest and bonhomie, but no airs or graces. Born in the Sadia between thousands of applauding votaries, he responds to their enthusiasm in kind. They love him. He obviously loves them. They believe in the magic of the church. He believes in it too, and does not suggest by his manner that he is any nearer to the heavenly mysteries than they are. He settles back comfortably in his chair and talks to the vast crowd around him for all the world as if he were talking to one old friend by his fireside. This spontaneity warms the heart, as studied and exotic rhetoric never can. Two microphones curve towards his face like two serpents poised to strike. He ignores their existence. His hand, one gripping his pince-nez, knocks them repeatedly as points are emphasised or illustrated. Cheerfulness and homely wisdom are the keynotes. The cold splendour of St. Peter's is momentarily forgotten. A domestic atmosphere prevails. When the Pope mentions saints who are buried in the Basilica, he might be introducing us to members of the family lurking in the background and needing to be brought forward. When he refers to death, he might be speaking of an acquaintance whom he neither fears nor particularly dislikes. Roman Catholic dogma is as foreign to me as any other sort, and more foreign to me than some. But I must pay homage to a Christian leader who is evidently Christian. The theories about Christ which he accepts and promotes will never be mine, but a lovable character is more potent than any tract, and Pope John is a lovable character.
I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.